Welcome. This is the Real Empowerment Podcast. I am Rebecca Michael, the Advocacy Manager with the Independence Center.
And I'm Becca.
Ooh. Sister.
Slow down. Start again.
It's okay. We don't have
Leave
to start
that
again.
In there. Okay. Leave yeah.
That is the point of this.
Yes.
Okay. So we're going to rewind, but actually keep the podcast going.
Okay.
The reason why we're rewinding is disability awareness. Is for those who are not able to see this podcast, we have a number of guests in our room. And my name is Rebecca Michael. I am the Advocacy Manager with the Independence Center.
And I'm Daniel Ratcliffe, the Benefits Coordinator at the Independence Center.
And the reason why we started over again was because we have interpreters in the room before our guests. And if you would like to introduce yourselves, guests, and we'll discuss why you're here with us.
Okay. Hi there. My name is Skylar Seifer. And nice to meet the both of you.
Nice to meet you as well.
Hello, everyone. My name is Rebecca Hall, and I work at the Independence Center in the CNA training program. It's very nice to be back here again.
Yes, Rebecca is back here with us. She was here, I want to say, maybe April?
Yeah, it's been a while.
Yeah, she's one of our first guinea pigs to come in and talk with us. And it was kind of confusing for our listeners, I think, because it was Rebecca and Rebecca. And we didn't really, you know, talk about until afterwards. Yeah, it was just her and I in this room. And we were trying to, you know, tell our, kind of, you know, distinguish ourselves for our listeners' benefit. But it actually turned out pretty well.
Yes, it did.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Nice. But for those who probably haven't heard that podcast, let's talk about a little bit about you, Rebecca. How did you get to the Independence Center?
Sure.
And what your role is and why we are here today, because I'd really like to hear your perspective.
Sure thing. So I started working for the Independence Center back in November. I work for the CNA school, and the CNA, what does that stand for? Certified Nursing Assistant. It's a very important job here in Colorado Springs area. We need more CNAs desperately. I love working for the Independence Center, and the wintertime, in the month of January, we started getting a student from Denver contacted me and explained her story to me that she wanted to sign up for the CNA classes, and she was from Denver, and she couldn't. There was no access for language. There were no interpreters provided for her classes. She tried her best with the class. But she just didn't understand, and she was very frustrated, and she withdrew from the class. She couldn't reach her goals, her dreams. She came to the Independence Center and wanted to set up a class with American Sign Language included and accommodations for equal access. So the Independence Center team sat down together and thought, yes, let's make this happen. So June 3rd was the start, just recent June, of our CNA class. And it just ended on June 28th. It was an amazing month. It really was. It was amazing to see it happen and come to fruition. It just all worked beautifully.
So how many students were in the class for June?
We had a total of 12 students, 5 hearing and 7 deaf.
Wow. Amazing. And what was the graduation rate?
From the ASL class, all of the 12 graduated. All the students graduated.
All passed.
Nice.
Yes, they did. Yes, indeed. They worked so hard. They practiced their skills every day, and the pass the tests, and I know that they will continue to become amazing CNAs in the future.
Wow. That's very, very cool.
That's so huge, because I would only assume that individuals that live as people who have either hard of hearing, that are hard of hearing or deaf, would like to interact in these places, such a doctor's office or a hospital, with an individual that can truly communicate with them. And I think that is major, major. And thank you guys so much for even, you know, pushing that envelope to bring that to light, you know, that we need this in our community.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Definitely.
Exactly.
So Rebecca, you went through the class along with Skylar.
Yes. Yes, I did. I took the class as a student and also working in the office at the same time. It was a busy month for me, needless to say.
Yes, I agree. So, with Skylar, so what was your motivation to go to this class?
I was interested in the CNA class because I wanted to learn about that topic. I want to see and support. Oh, hold on. Sorry, my bad. Hold on. CNA because you. All right, I'll back up. I wanted to be a success in that class, and then I can see that I can work with hearing people, and hearing people will realize that they can work with deaf or hard of hearing people, and we can work as one. We can do it through writing, or we can be creative in terms of our communication. And I like to give that challenge to hearing people, and I want them to understand deaf culture, and I want them to understand that it is key and imperative that we communicate with the hearing world, and they need to communicate with deaf people. My ultimate goal is to become a fire person. So to get there, I thought I would take the CNA class to get me started, and I want to pass that, and I'm working very hard studying for the state exam, and it's coming up soon, so that's been my whole thing, just studying right now for that test.
Very nice. Cool. So are you from Colorado Springs?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You're a native?
I'm a native.
Wow.
What?
It's like a unicorn.
Just like me.
Okay. I was not born here, actually. I'm not a native. I'm sorry. I was
close
confused
enough
with the question. But
I was actually. I was like, wait a minute.
I was born in Russia. Moved here to America. Started out in California and then ultimately moved here to Colorado. I apologize for my confusion.
Yeah, we are like unicorns.
Yeah.
The natives of Colorado Springs, because we don't. There's not a lot of us because of the military. When I meet a native like myself, it is like a unicorn. Like, wait a minute, stop.
You're really
wait
from
a minute.
Here?
Yeah, seriously? Yeah. So, let's talk about why you want to be a fire person. What caused that dream?
The reason that I want to do that, and I can't remember exactly. I don't know whether it was kindergarten or can't remember when. But anyway, it was at school, and we went on a field trip to the fire department, and they gave us all this information about being a fire person, and then I even get to try on their uniforms, and it was then that I decided that's what I ultimately want to do. So it started back in kindergarten. It just was had a huge impact on me, and it has since become my passion.
And really, Skylar has, yesterday she showed me a picture of when she was a little girl.
Right.
She had this big, huge firefighter coat on, you know, those big, huge jackets that they wear.
Oh, yeah.
Yellow. And she had this huge smile on her face.
That was me, yeah.
So you were maybe, what, 5, 6 years old?
Yeah, somewhere in there, 5, 6.
So you've been living that long with that dream. It's been a lifelong dream for you.
Oh, yeah, it's just a perfect suit for me. It just fits me to a T.
Sounds like you're almost there.
Yeah, taking the steps to get there.
Exactly right, yes.
Yes. So let's talk about the class. It was a month-long class. And what was that experience like having a CNA class in your language?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'll go first. It was amazing. We had the interpreter in front of the room. Then we would have the speaker, and then it would be... Oh, then we had a deaf interpreter as well. So it was an interesting dynamic. We would have the teacher, the deaf interpreter, the lecturer, and the interpreting was taking place. And if I wasn't understanding the interpreter that was hearing, then it would go to the deaf interpreter and would elaborate and make it clear. And I was able to understand what the lecturer was, what they were talking about. And it was just seamless because we weren't falling behind because we were missing what was being said. It just, communication was seamless. I would be able to look at the interpreter, and if something wasn't happening, I was able to go to the other interpreter, and I wasn't missing things. So we didn't even have to worry about writing notes because we could be 100% attentive to the lecture because Rebecca was taking the notes. And after the class, she would distribute them to the students, and it would give me the opportunity to study those notes. And I have to tell you, for the deaf community, taking notes and watching the interpreter simultaneously is daunting. So having a note taker there made it that much a better experience.
Oh, yeah, I want to add to that a little bit, if you don't mind. You made an awesome point right there, Skylar. In American Sign Language is a completely different language.
Correct,
a lot of people
yep.
don't realize that. English is a separate language than American Sign Language.
Exactly.
So when we're talking about specific vocabulary, like medical or legal or science or any of those type of vocabulary words with very specific terminology, it's really important to know that what the difference is. So in American Sign Language, it's the definition, it's a language of definition. For example, you know the word
clean,
like clean your room, clean, and the word sterile. You know, they have different meanings, really. They have different definitions. But sometimes could be a struggle in American Sign Language to really emphasize that sterile and clean do not mean the same thing in this context.
Okay.
So our interpreter staff, wow, they were amazing. They were amazing. We sat down before the class started, and we discussed vocabulary and how to really emphasize different definitions to help our students clearly understand. And then when the class started, the students joined in with those discussions and, you know, what's the sign for Alzheimer's? You know, we had different signs that people had seen. Currently in the medical field, it's very difficult for deaf and hard of hearing people to try to be involved in those communities. There's been barriers. They use the same ASL terminology to bridge it to English and clarify the concepts so that, great point you brought up, to be able to teach clear concepts to the deaf students and so that they can understand the concepts. The communication part was awesome as well.
Oh, I agree.
Class.
It was amazing.
We had a spectrum of people. We had deaf people who did not speak at all, only signed ASL. We had deaf people that could speak and sign. We had hard of hearing. We had hearing students. We were all together in this room.
Wow.
And it just worked wonderfully together.
And so I have a question for either, well, in particular, Skylar. So what I do in my job, I work with Social Security benefits and things of that nature, and I meet with individuals that are deaf, and mm-hmm. we do have interpreters present, and my counterpart next door to me is Matthew Ruggles, who you may be familiar with, and he was trying to explain mm-hmm. to us how important it is that he is present during some of those meetings for the deaf interpretation rather than the hearing interpretation. And I had no idea. I had no idea that there was even a difference. So could you explain how important it is to have maybe two interpreters compared to having one interpreter in a classroom setting? And you kind of touched on it already. I just want to make it very clear for our listeners that how important that is.
Well, it's important because the deaf person incorporates more American Sign Language. It just seems more vivid. There's more facial expressions, and I'm able to comprehend. Whereas the hearing interpreter might lean towards more of an English interpretation, but when we have the deaf interpreter, it's more in depth in terms of the ASL that is incorporated, and I'm able to comprehend it as opposed to just the English interpretation. It doesn't appear to go as in depth. It's not as clear for me. So as soon as I see the American Sign Language interpretation, I comprehend it that much better.
A DEI, most of the time, American Sign Language is their first language. They grew up signing, seeing the world through their eyes.
Right.
Okay. And then they learn English later on. So they like a Spanish person, the same thing. If their first language is Spanish,
okay.
They have accents that are obviously different. There's different word choices that could be different depending. So the hearing interpreters that grew up, their first language is English.
Right.
So they do a wonderful job, but a deaf interpreter really can emphasize the language and clarify.
Exactly.
Skylar said really in depth. Take the concepts and bring them all together to a clear idea.
That makes sense.
Total sense.
Yeah. And I've seen it happen. It's really kind of an interesting display when being a person who is sighted and also is hearing, I get to see the spoken language interpreted into ASL and then ASL interpreted for the deaf community. It's really it's really intriguing to watch. And it's also intriguing to watch the audience watch the ASL, the hearing ASL interpreter, and then sign to the deaf interpreter, and then all of a sudden you see like the head shakes, like I get what you're saying.
Yep.
You know, it's like the filter or the interpretation of whatever was being spoken became so clear. It wasn't like I'm lost,
right.
I don't understand or clarify. It was just seamless. Yeah. It's really cool to watch.
It's amazing.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
And so, Skylar, so going through the CNA program and working towards that career of being a fire person, what are some of the challenges, other than the obvious challenges, what are some unique situations that you've been in that you've been able to find a way through, such as the accommodation of a DI? Could you kind of give us some examples of some of the challenges through this training that you may have had that you had to kind of work to get through?
Let me think. Could you just explain that just a little bit more?
Yeah.
Could you clarify that
so
question?
What were some ways or situations that you had to find a way to be very creative to figure out how to solve the situation at hand or solve the problem at hand during the CNA training classes? Like, for instance, let's say if an interpreter was a hearing interpreter had signed to a deaf interpreter, but the deaf interpreter may have...
Kevin. His name was Kevin.
Okay. All right,
our deaf interpreter.
Awesome. So now I can give him a name. I feel horrible just being like the interpreter. So, so if someone was trying to, you know, relay a message or to speak to you, and the message came across totally wrong, and you kind of got the wrong idea, like what are some creative ways? Like, what do you do in those situations? Do you just say like, I think I'm answering you right? Can you further explain, or do you have to kind of, you know, get around, or even being able to use like a stethoscope or something like that? Like, what are the creative ways or accommodations that are provided to a deaf student in a hearing class, in particular a CNA class?
Okay. getting access with the interpreter. I first met with Matthew. He has provided so much support for the deaf interpreter. They had everything in place before the class started, and it was so impressive. It just, everything was set to go in terms of accessibility. We had both the hearing and deaf interpreter. It was no concern to me. I didn't foresee any problems. It was clear that the ICE Independent Center had things in place for the CNA class when it came to interpretation. Deaf people, hard of hearing people, obviously hearing people had equal access in this situation.
And
maybe you want to add, Rebecca?
Yeah, I was thinking at the beginning of the class, we were with the interpreters, just watching the interpreters, and we started developing a relationship with the hearing students and the deaf students. We're getting along, and it was a very important part of the CNA training program, is practicing our skills in the lab. At the end of the month, we had hearing and deaf working together, practicing in the lab together, and no interpreter there. We didn't need it. You can develop your own and learn your own way of communicating with body language, facial expressions, simply pointing to something. Are you hungry? Do you want food? Things like that. You understand. That's easily understood. You want something to drink? That's easy to use a gesture for. So we had to be creative with our bodies and hearing culture as well. I think hearing culture is about 60% of communication is related with body language anyway. So when you go talk with your boss and they're sitting down and their arms are crossed and they're, you know, you just look like you want to run. You're like, I don't want to sit there. He's going to get yelled at. So a lot of our communication, we had time to develop what was important, that the hearing students were willing to meet us halfway.
Nice.
They were willing to try to figure out how to solve these problems and to communicate with us. And to see that happen was a beautiful thing. It is so possible. It is so possible for communication to be easy. It really is. Just with a little bit of patience involved. Also, you asked an awesome question about the stethoscope.
Yes.
There is technology nowadays. I believe it's called an echo stethoscope.
Mm-hmm.
It has a visual display meter on it that you can download an app on your iPhone, and Bluetooth connects to it with this stethoscope. And so I can place the monitor on Skylar's chest, for example, and obviously I can't hear it, but I can see it on my phone and tell her that she's doing good.
That's cool.
Yeah, it is.
I totally need to see that now. I don't want anybody touching me. They don't need to do it on me.
What?
But I need to see somebody else do it.
I'll volunteer.
Okay. We're going to make Daniel do it now.
That's so cool.
We'll head over later today, and you can poke and prod all you want, and I just get to watch.
Not poke. What are we talking about? Poke.
You can be our resident patient, and we'll practice our skills on you.
I'll pass.
I have a bubble. I just want to watch it happen.
Right,
no one needs to. Yeah, I did just throw him under the
kindly
bus.
Kindly slid me under the bus.
Well, you guys, don't you practice once a week on your skills while you are preparing for the exam? See,
yes.
Told you, they need bodies, and you can
like
be one.
Cadavers.
Yes, we do.
No. Yep. I'm going to start a list of staff that need to get their practice on.
Let me start that list.
I'm not going to be one of them. No, I just want to watch. Yeah.
Oh,
So, Rebecca, let's talk about how you got started. So, you said in January someone had contacted you about not being able to attend a class. So there were not an accommodation being provided. And so was that when you decided to start exploring the option of a deaf class?
Yes, exactly. One big barrier for the deaf people was the opportunity to learn.
Right.
I personally believe that knowledge is empowering.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So what you have to do is make knowledge accessible to people.
Yes.
And if you do that, beautiful things can happen.
Mm-hmm. You need information.
And people in our language. And then we can learn. CNA job is a very visual job.
Yes.
Their biggest important things is to observe the patient and document and report what they see. So for me, I don't know about you, Skylar, but for me, my eyes. Mm-hmm. Ooh, I am just looking at everything. I value my eyesight, and that's where I get all information from. And CNAs, I feel like I can do a good job paying attention to details, the little things that little changes, and then report them to our nurse. And that's a simple thing that make a big difference in the care plan for the patient, for their medication and their therapies and treatments, and then giving them a better quality of life as well.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that really makes sense. So then what steps did you take to get us to that point? So talk about who you met with, who you brainstormed with, because it didn't just happen overnight. It didn't just, have a thought and then poof.
Oh, there was so much.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh.
Tell us the details.
There was a lot involved to get this set up. I graduated from RIT, Rochester Institute of Technology. They have set up an amazing program for deaf and hard of hearing students. And so I took what I learned from that school, from their services, and I tried to set it up here in the Independent Center for our class.
Hearing interpreters,
deaf interpreters, note takers, study groups, and have that all available for our deaf and hard of hearing students. So it was a big team effort that made this class happen. We need to educate our staff
on how to teach
a deaf student or a deaf learner.
Mm-hmm.
It looks different.
Mm-hmm. It is different.
Our learning needs are different,
obviously. So remember, we process information visually.
Right.
It's very different. It's a very different way. So we had workshops with the CNA staff. We had two wonderful independent center presenters that work there, Elle and Kevin, and they explained. We also contacted our clinical site that we set up a workshop for those people to educate them how to interact with deaf and hard of hearing people, how to communicate with them. Because we understand that, some people, when you meet a person with a disability, if it's a new experience for you, it tends to be a little awkward. It can be. Or you don't know the etiquette. You don't know what kind of questions to ask. Maybe you're afraid of being rude or offending somebody. So we felt like it was important to provide that education to the staff. To work with the interpreters. We had group meetings with the interpreters ahead of time to discuss vocabulary, like I had mentioned. We met with the students as well to ask them what questions about the program, how did they hear about signing up, what supports they want. It all just came together magically.
It has been amazing. It's the first of its kind in the United States. I don't believe I've heard of a class like this before.
That's right, me either.
I think this is the only one.
Wow.
You guys are making history.
I know, look at that.
I'm hoping that in the future there'll be more classes available like this. We learned a lot from the first class.
Right.
We had so many good ideas and ways to improve the class for the future. And for myself, the best part was meeting the other students, like Skylar here, who are wonderful deaf people with big dreams and aspirations and want to make things happen. And your story is so inspiring to me. And having the community support us as deaf individuals and see that it is possible to give us a chance. Give us the opportunity. Meet us halfway.
Yes.
And it can happen. We can make it work.
Yes.
Yes, we can.
That's really cool. So, since the class has ended, what kind of response have you received? Either by the media or other individuals who are seeing that this class was provided and contacting you, tell us what's happened after.
Do you want to come on, Skylar? Any of your friends say anything to you?
Not so much. I sent my mom and my siblings that I was going to be doing that. I sent them the link to the articles and told them about the program, and they thought it was just so awesome. And then Facebook, I didn't want to really be a part of that. But
we had many deaf people from different states contact us saying, "Oh my gosh, I want to join the class."
Mm-hmm.
They explain their stories and their experiences and the barriers they've had to deal with for signing up for CNA classes. And then also having equal access accommodations for state testing and licensing as well.
I was shocked,
frankly, that so many people from California, Massachusetts, Florida, they were all saying that there's barriers out there that still exist trying to get in the medical field. They said that they have to work really hard for a PCA job, personal care assistant jobs, and they want to be
an official licensure.
But it's been a struggle, and so this outgoing support we've received has been amazing for this class. It's been great.
So this is actually opening the door for an individual that is deaf to become a doctor, possibly, or a surgeon. Like, this is
big.
Huge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, that's amazing.
Yep.
Yes, exactly.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. If you just have to start with one class that you take that idea and you create it into something bigger, and then you just continue to improve and move forward, and it just becomes bigger.
And also, I think Skylar is a great example that she wanted to start with the CNA program and then
make
work
way
her
up.
Way up.
Exactly.
Yes.
Exactly right. So now that I have the CNA, and when I pass and I get some experience out in the workforce and I feel ready to pursue other things such as going to school specifically to become a fire person.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, maybe an EMR or an EMT perhaps, or EMS. I mean, there's so many different opportunities in that field. Maybe work with wildfires. There's so many things that I could really be interested in and kind of try everything on. But ultimately become a fire person and only get there by having all of these different experiences.
Yeah. And you really think about all the different occupations that you could explore once you get into, you know, the fire science field and all the things that you can explore. It really is amazing. And we have a whole bunch of mountains in this state, and fires happen.
Yeah.
So, yes, there's an opportunity.
Oh, they do.
Yes, they do. You know, just to make sure you put your fires out. And if you're not supposed to smoke in the forest, don't smoke in the forest. Because you're on my sighted side.
Oh.
Don't feel some kind of way.
I'm feeling guilty.
Yeah, clearly.
I smoked in the forest. I'm sorry.
No. Oh, shame on you. Daniel.
See, yep. Mm-hmm.
It's called, yeah, you an arsonist, yes? Yeah, maybe.
Straight called you out.
Yeah, I'm aware of the fire and fire science. I took an AVP class over at Pikes Peak Community College, and I fortunately passed. I was quite surprised, I must admit. But I worked so hard to get through that, absolutely. I did what I needed to do, and I passed. And like I said, I was pleasantly surprised. I thought, okay, well, it was kind of encouraging that I realized that I could do this, and maybe in time this might really happen.
And that's a really good point that you just brought up. You're right. Just working your way through those daily struggles.
It's a challenge for sure.
Yep.
If you have a disability or not,
yep.
there's always those struggles.
Yep.
But don't give up on your dreams. Keep going. Keep persevering.
Hands down. Yes, I will. And I got through that class, and I'll continue on.
That's really cool.
That's amazing. And it also gives the public, the general public, the opportunity to work side by side with an individual with a disability, and it is necessary. Like, I would love to be able to walk into a restaurant and have a waiter or waitress that is deaf or visually impaired or that uses a wheelchair. Like, individuals should have these opportunities so that way the general public can realize that we are still human and we are still people and we live just like everyone else. We just have different ways of accomplishing things.
Yes, exactly. And everybody deserves
a
role model.
Yes.
If it's an individual that has a vision disability, you have a role model. If you are a deaf person, you can be a deaf person's role model. Yes. And that's important because if you don't ever see someone like you doing something that you want to do, then you will automatically think that you cannot.
It's not possible.
Yep.
Exactly.
So.
And you guys, the energy in this room is going to make me get up and run out of here and do something great.
Yeah, don't hurt yourself. Be careful.
I don't know what it is. I don't know. Maybe I'll try to be a NASCAR driver or something.
I would love to see
I'll be the first blind NASCAR driver. That would be awesome.
You know what? Something, you can actually do like an automated driver. You're just in there. You're just the person in the vehicle.
I have to get Rebecca to have them set it up. She puts everything in place. I have both Beccas on my team. That would be awesome.
Yeah, she is the organizer.
Right.
She created this class.
This is what I'm saying.
Yeah. So then, and I'll just tell people what to do.
I won't even believe that where it's at.
Well, thank you guys so much for coming and talking with us. And I really had enjoyed kind of hearing the stories of how the deaf CNA class went. Elle is one of my staff, and she was so excited to be able to participate and be a support to the students and just kind of watch this project happen. And I didn't want to go into the class and observe during class because I've heard I'm a distraction at times. I don't see that, but I've heard that I'm a distraction. So I intentionally did not come to the class until the last day, and then I got a little teary, and that's not something that I disclose often enough. What? I got a little misty because of the way that Rebecca spoke to the students and the way that the students reciprocated her aberration for each other.
Wow.
And it was really cool to watch how a group of individuals that didn't know each other at the beginning of this class, they may have known of each other or they'd had interactions, but then became like a really close-knit family. And it was really cool to watch. And they were holding each other accountable for getting practice in and showing up and making sure that you get your skills practice in so that you can take the test. And it was really, really fun to watch everybody, especially Skylar. They pointed out Skylar a lot. You're going to go talk on the podcast and you're going to go get your certification. And don't forget, you have to come and practice. So Nice. They really, you know, encouraged Skylar to move forward and get and accomplish her dreams.
It's so true. They did.
Yes.
Yeah, and I'm going to work hard, and I will not give up, and yes. I'm just going to continue to believe in myself.
Yes. So we may just have to have them come back and talk to us.
Yes, then we'll do a follow-up to see if Skylar's fighting those fires. I think that's so cool.
And likely Skylar will have to come in and give you some
cigarette attention. Oh, it'll be fun. Actually, I had an experience actually with a fire hose. There was a...
These things are heavy.
It was...
In 2014,
during the summer, I was able to attend this event, and you actually get to wear the SBA mask and work with the hose and use the barrier breaker and try to save a person. Obviously, it wasn't a real person. We got to climb up the ladder and actually experience what a real fire would be like, and I actually did spray the hose. It was just a fun experience. I just absolutely love everything about it.
Just confirmed that that is what you need and what you have to be doing with your life.
Yes.
Good. Oh, absolutely.
Yes. Nice. How heavy is that hose, by the way?
Let me think about that. I would say it wasn't too heavy, but you always had a person. You had a backup person, so it required two. But when you're alone, it just kind of, you can't do that because it just kind of has a mind of its own. It's kind of fun, I have to say, but I wish I could kind of do that on my own. But yeah, you always needed a backup to prevent the hose taking over.
Yeah, I was going to say, because you're not a very big person, and to understand how heavy that hose is with that pressure, I could imagine it was controlling you versus you controlling it.
Yes. But again, that's why you need it's a two-person job. So one to hold the front of the hose and the other one to kind of guide it wherever you want to get the fire out, whatever you're trying to put out. So it's a two-person job for sure.
Yes.
I might be mistaken, but firefighters, don't they use sign language when they're inside? Or not sign language, but signs, like hand signals sometimes, like when they're in fires and things of that nature, if they can't truly hear? Do they use like hand signals or like third floor or something like that?
Before they get to the scene, they communicate prior to arriving there, and then you kind of, everybody gets their orders. They're told exactly what they need to do. Everybody's on the same page. They get to the site and they do what they need to do. But yes, it involves hand gestures. It's not actual sign language. But you need to coordinate prior to going there. Yeah. It's a high risk, absolutely, but you just have to push that aside, go do what you need to do, go run into the fire, but all of that communication happens prior to getting to the scene.
Okay.
And you're ultimately using that on the scene.
Wow.
Oh, that makes sense.
That's so cool.
Yeah, that is cool. All right, well, now we're going to have to figure out when to have you guys back next. So...
absolutely, sure.
Yes. Absolutely, that'll be fun.
I want to hear about when the certification is done and what you're working on in school next and how the job search is going. I want all the details.
Yes.
So we may have to even do like an email update because I'm just not going to let it go.
Okay. We can do a video phone update.
We totally could.
And then we can show our listeners what it looks like to use a video phone.
Oh, yeah. That's true, too. Yeah. All right, so be fair warned. It's going to happen again.
All right.
Oh, sure. We'll be back. No problem.
Sure, absolutely.
When Skylar is finally a famous deaf firefighter, we'll make sure you don't burn down the forest with your smoking.
Well, I'm keeping Skylar employed.
What?
Somebody's got to start fires for firefighters to stay employed.
Oh, my gosh. Too bad that... I don't even know what to say. I have no words.
I can't wait to see a fire. I just love seeing a fire and having the ability to put it out. It's just so empowering.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. Well, thank you both very much.
Yes,
we appreciate you guys coming and talking with us.
Not a problem. Thank you very much for inviting us. Thank you.
We're excited to hear more from you. And if you are ready to follow us on any of our social media. We have the YouTube channel, which is the accessible podcast. That is out on YouTube. Just search Real Empowerment. You can go to Podomatic and get the audio version of this podcast. Just search for Real Empowerment. And then if you want to come to our office,
not actually, my office.
You don't want anybody to come visit you?
They can go to the front desk.
Oh, my goodness.
And then I can choose whether or not I want
wow.
to see
you. Wow. Okay. I see how that works now.
No, we might be
if
really big
if you want
one day.
To go see Daniel at our office, the address is 729 South Tejon. Oh my goodness. In Colorado Springs. And then if you want to go see Rebecca, she is at the CNA school, which is 711 South Tejon, right next door to us. She is on the second floor, and it has a sign and all that pretty stuff. It should just say Rebecca's office, but it doesn't. It says CNA school. And if you want to get a hold of us, you can call us on the phone. Ask for Daniel.
You forgot someone.
Did I?
Yes, you forgot your office.
No. You don't need to come see me. No. You. Just you. Our phone number is 719-471-8181. And just ask for Daniel.
And Rebecca's extension is?
No. Rebecca, what is the phone number to get a hold of you?
My number is 719-505-5523. And please... if you are deaf or hard of hearing or interested in signing up to CNA classes, please let me know. I would really, really appreciate that. Maybe we can sit down and chat about it. It'll be good.
Excellent. Well, thank you again for coming and, you know,
sure.
talking with us and giving us all the details and holding Daniel accountable for not starting forest fires. And thank you to our interpreters for providing this access for our staff and
yes.
and our consumers.
I won't start fires.
Please don't.
Okay.
All right, I'm Rebecca Michael.
I'm Daniel Ratcliffe.
Have a good day.